Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, stand-up comedian and voiceover artist Alex King. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
We are indeed happy to have you join us today, and we're also happy to be welcoming a special guest, a friend of Alex's fiance, Kenny. His name is Richie Gonzalez, and he's going to tell us about how he recovered as an addict of 10 plus years using the law of attraction, which is a pretty darn cool thing to do. Not the addiction part, but the recovery part. The addiction part, that part sucks, but you know. But I'm sure you'll have plenty to say about that. But Kenny, first of all, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and thank you for that. And we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Oh, no problem. Honestly, you don't even have to thank me because I'm honored. Seriously, when Alex had asked me to be on, I immediately said yes. So,
cool stuff. All right. Well, so first of all, I'm going to put us in a mode here where we can all see each other here. So, Alex, how you doing? You're looking good. You're looking. You once again, you have changed your hairstyle. You change it every single week.
I know. It keeps. It keeps everybody guessing, so they come back.
And it works beautifully, I have to say. So. But we were talking just before the podcast started about how crazy our weeks have been, and I didn't really get a chance to ask you, how crazy has your week been?
It's getting closer and closer to wedding time, so it's been crazy.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a good crazy.
It's a good crazy. It's a little stressful, but you know me, I don't like to subscribe to stress, so.
Good, good. Well, just stay with that one. You know, it's like my favorite thing. I don't buy guilt trip tickets. So, you know, it's really basically the same kind of thing. Right, exactly. So, all right. Well, let's go to our guest, Richie. And Richie, first of all, thank you again for coming on the show. You got to tell us a little bit more how this whole thing got started. Not that we want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I mean, it's usually a rough road that leads us to that kind of a situation where we're addicted to something. I imagine it was probably similar with you.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, unfortunately, it's something that just happens to a lot of people as they're growing up. It usually starts as a teenager for a lot of people, you know, and just starts out as you thinking that you're having fun with your friends and you don't realize that somewhere down the line it can become a problem, you know. That's pretty much how it started for me. And, you know, it just carried on through the years until, you know, at a certain point, you start recognizing the person that you're seeing in the mirror. You know what I mean? So
yes.
It's a rough thing to go through.
That is actually a startling experience to have when you, like you said, when you don't really recognize the person in the mirror. I actually went through that same kind of thing. I didn't have a major addiction withdrawal. But I had to make some major shifts in my life when I was in my early 20s. And I'm glad I made them. Thank goodness I made them. But nevertheless, it's tough. I mean, basically, I had the way I describe it is I fired all my friends. Yes, that's the way I described it. Right. And is that what you went through? Did you kind of do the same thing? Change your whole social lifestyle?
When it comes to getting clean and recovering, yes, you are. It's like you have to completely change your entire life if you want it to actually work. You know, you can't expect things to go the same. What's the saying? You know, you can't keep trying the same thing and expecting different results. So,
right.
And, you know, you have to change everything. Your whole mindset, the people around you, unfortunately, because, you know, most of the times it's people that you love that you're actually using with. So, you know, it's hard. There's a lot of things that go into getting clean and recovery that people don't really think about, you know. It's a lot of detachment from things that you've gotten used to, routines that you've built for yourself. And regardless of how deep your addiction goes or how high functioning you are, you know, it affects you and everybody around you.
It does. You know? Yeah. It
really does.
And it's a challenge.
A lot of lives.
Especially your own.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. But pulling myself out of it wasn't easy, you know. And the law of attraction is something that actually really helped me. It's something that I've known and practiced in the past. You know, I was introduced to some of the fundamentals as, I want to say when I was 18 years old, you know, still a teenager. And, it's easy to lose the flow of, you know, following all the steps that you should be following to attract and manifest your own reality. You know, life has a way of taking that away sometimes.
No kidding. Yeah. But, very true.
You know, I just, At some point, I wanted to be different and better. You know what I mean? So the law of attraction just started helping me. I just started focusing on what I wanted, you know, surrounding myself by things that will actually pull that to me. And everything has just been falling into place for a while now. So I'm very happy with the person I am.
That's very cool. Yeah. And well, that's a key portion of it, isn't it? Being happy with who you are, feeling good about yourself, developing self-esteem, developing self-love. It's not something we normally associate with addiction in most people's minds, but I know in my mind, the two are almost inseparable.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right about that. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't get to a point where they, you know, they can get out of it. A lot of people don't see a way out. And part of what I'm doing, now that I'm recovered and everything, you know, I'm just trying to help people that are going through the same thing as me. You know, I started a YouTube channel myself, so I'm actually new to this whole YouTube thing also.
Good for you, though.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm learning as I go.
That's the way we all learn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it took a lot of learning to get this together, too, you know. And
a lot of bumps in the road.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still working the kinks out. You know what I mean? So, but I'm just trying to learn as I go and enjoy life as it goes too, you know? So
that's really good.
My channel, what I'm trying to do is interview people that have kind of been through the same things that I've been. Doesn't even have to be the same. Doesn't have to be addiction. But, you know, just people who have been through some really tough things and have come out the other side and are trying to help others also, you know? They're working with organizations that are helping the homeless and addicts and all kinds of things. So I just want to bring awareness to them, promote their projects and everything. That's pretty much my goal now that I'm clean, is to help the other people that are making a difference. You know,
that's a great goal too.
Yeah, it's not something I ever would have done when I was using, that's for sure. So yeah, it's crazy how caring about yourself makes a difference.
Yes. Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, obviously, we're here talking about law of attraction and how that plays a role. But there probably, like you said, there are a lot of factors involved. And if you had to point to the one that kind of got the ball rolling for you, what was that one factor that just kind of turned it around for you? He said, you know what? Yes, looking in the mirror made the difference, but it was also this. What's this?
I feel like for a lot of people, when it comes to that moment, you know, it's usually a big thing. It usually takes a very big event to kind of snap you back into reality, you know? And, I had overdosed one time and I was lucky enough to not die from it. But after that, I couldn't be that person anymore, you know? Something in that event made me start caring again, you know? It made me start caring about myself, about being alive. And because, you know, depression comes with addiction. Most of the time it really does. And, that was just a whole nother battle I had to fight out of. But, you know, starting to actually care about myself was a big, big factor because once I almost died, you know, I was pretty much at the end there. I had to either make a choice to keep going down that road or be a better person. So I made my choice. That's for sure.
That's a good choice to make too. Yeah. And that is a common theme. You're right. And it's interesting that you're interviewing people. I'm glad you're interviewing people who've had similar kinds of experiences because they all have the same story to tell. Everybody I've ever interviewed on this program who has some kind of addictive behavior they overcame, there was that one moment. I mean, the one I like to talk about a lot is a former co-host, occasional guest co-host named Joel Elston, who, went through a lot. What he went through was not just addiction. He was addicted to gambling, but he also embezzled to support his gambling habit and ended up going to prison for it.
Oh, snap. And I didn't know that.
You didn't know that about Joel?
Well,
oh, yeah.
I knew he went to prison, but I didn't know what for.
It was for the embezzlement.
Well, you know now.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about his story, the way he tells it, is the day that the prison door slammed and he was locked in is the moment when he finally felt free. It was the moment when he was able to let go of stuff and recognize that his life at that point, as odd as it sounds, was in his control. So, I mean, that's a little bit of an extreme example in some ways, but you also have to bear in mind that approximately, well, I'm not sure exactly what the time frame was, but months before, he had been living on the streets in Las Vegas, eating out of dumpsters and living living rough and so forth. Oh. So it was actually probably an improvement in some ways from what he had before. But it was a seminal moment. He actually he wrote a book called The Bench, and he's actually writing another couple books right now. And in that first book, he talks about that as being the biggest turnaround of his life, just having that experience. Mm-hmm. In part because, and this is the really interesting thing, in part because when it happened, when the door finally slammed closed, all of his fears, he realized, were worse than the actual event. Mm-hmm. The event was actually not as bad. Not that it was good. He certainly never wants to relive it, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, but it was just, he just had decided that, okay, I'm getting better at this point. And of course he did. So I imagine that's also part of what you went through as you were making your shift.
Like I said, it's always that big event, that one moment that just changes you, you know? Well, hopefully it changes you for the better, but you know, it happens to everybody, I think, that's been through it at some point, you know? And, ever since I made the choice and, you know, kind of been, I want to say practicing, but it's not even like I practice the fundamentals of The Secret or, you know, laws of attraction or anything. I just, I focus on what I want and I make it happen and it just comes to me, you know? It's crazy. But I've been pulling all kinds of great people into my life lately and people that I haven't seen in forever and, you know, people that are good for me. It's not something that I was trying to do. It's just been happening day after day. So, I mean, it's possible for people to shape their reality around themselves if they try.
Absolutely so. And our friend Dan Mangana has been able to join us on the show. Hey there, Daniel. How you doing?
I had a bit of an adventure. So I just had a session with a stream. So I would have been like 2 minutes late anyway, but my Mac was like, I'm not doing anything that you say. I'm not doing anything that you say. I'm like, really? I'm really betraying my word and being late. I want to meet Richie. I want to see the guys. No, I'm not doing anything you say. I'm not doing anything you say. I'm just chill. Not going to get stressed out. I'm stressing. I'm not going to get stressed. I'm stressing. Anyway, nice to meet you, Richie.
Nice to meet you too, Dan.
As you can tell, Richie, we have a lot of fun on Thursdays. This crew here is like they're like crazy, and I love it. It's one of the things I think is best about them. But
oh yeah, I could definitely see it.
One gang, no gang signs.
Anyway, I wanted to share a comment from the listeners, live streamers, Shelly, who's one of our co-hosts here. She's now back on the show doing the Tuesdays with me. She says, I know addiction requires you to change so much, including people. This is true of all big changes. When you are happy and abundant, you can't keep complaining with some that thrive on that. I'm curious to know, what do you think about that?
What was that? Me?
What do you think about that? Yeah.
Oh, she's 100% right. I mean, you know, there are certain people who, if I'm remembering the last part of that correctly, certain people will almost thrive off of the chaos of it all, you know. Some people are very good at living through it, you know, and some people aren't. But when you have people who are thriving off of abundance and, you know, just doing better, you can't mix the two because it just does not work. It doesn't work, you know.
Right.
It conflicts so much against itself. But it takes a lot of learning for people to get there, you know, I think. For sure. It's not something that happens overnight.
When you made your shift and you made the connection between using LOA and getting clean, what happened? I mean, how, cause that's often a connection that doesn't get made.
No, I mean, like I said, it's the law of attraction is something that I've known and researched a lot when I was younger. And, you know, obviously over the years, the using and stuff, I lost a lot of that. But when I started, kind of really caring about myself again and focusing on my life, you know, everything changed because I'll tell you right now, I wasn't the same person that's sitting in front of you. That's for sure. And, you know, I went from not doing anything with my life, sitting at home every day, you know, using and pretty much rotting away to, you know, I'm taking classes all day long. Most of the time I'm working from home, doing all kinds of things on the computer. I'm reconnecting with certain people. Like I told you, I'm doing a lot of things that I wouldn't say yes to normally, you know, because when you're using, you kind of keep yourself hidden from the world for the most part. I was doing it. So, I mean, it changed my life in so many ways. I mean, I'm getting ready to travel around the country soon too. And
nice. You
know, so many things are changing for me right now. I'm so happy.
That's a great shift. That's a wonderful shift. And a mind shift is a big part of it. We talk about mind shifts a lot here on the show. So talk about how you had to make a mind shift. What kind of a mind shift did you have to make? I mean, what was the quality of it?
Oh, it's an extremely personal thing, but definitely, you know, when it comes to addiction, it's very personal. But the mind shift was not easy for one. Taking your mind off of drugs and using to, you know, everyday life is not an easy switch. You know, the things it does to your body and your mind, it'll play tricks on you. So making that switch was not easy for me. It took a lot of fighting. You know, when it comes to using, it's something you think about as soon as you wake up. You think about it all day. You think about it before you go to sleep. I mean, changing your mindset is literally the only thing that is going to save you. You know, if you can't do that, I don't want to say there's no hope for you, because there's hope for anybody, definitely. Many people could have said there was no hope for me, you know.
Mm.
But so it's not that there's no hope for them. It's just some people don't know how to get there. Changing, as I'm sure all of you know, changing your mindset is not easy when it comes to any emotion or anything.
But what have you found that made the difference? How did you learn to do it?
I wish I could give you that answer in a better way, but I honestly don't know. One day I could not be that person anymore, you know? Mm. And, I started whipping out old books and started reading, you know, I was reading The Magic and stuff, which I'm sure you guys know about.
Sure.
And, it just kind of snapped me back into the cycle that I used to be, where I would use the law of attraction to get pretty much anything I wanted in life. It's been a long time since then, but clearly I still got it.
Shelley, again, listening in the live stream, has a question for you. She says, when you were in the thick of your addiction, is there anything that anyone could have done or said to snap you out of it? For those of us that have family members that are in the thick of it, I have one relative that I don't want her to know where I live. That's how bad it is.
Oh, wow.
That statement is true for a lot of people. You know, although they do love the person who is going through it, you know, they detach themselves because they're afraid of what these people might do, because, you know, it makes you do crazy things depending on what you're using. But I mean, and I felt that statement a lot, because I'm sure a lot of people could have felt that way about me, you know. Not that I ever did anything to anybody. You know, my addiction was always kept to myself. But I, when it comes to if there's anything you can really say or do, unfortunately, there's really nothing you can do besides be there and support them. As long as they're not giving up on themselves, don't give up on them. That's for sure. But no amount of words, I don't think, will change an addict's mindset. It's, like I was saying, it's very personal and internal. It's something that they have to come to on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you try to force them, more than likely you're going to force them deeper into their addiction. So you kind of just have to let life play out just like it does for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's another theme that comes up a lot here on the show, talking about just respecting the path that other people are on, even when it's a really unpleasant path. And that can be a challenge. I mean, it's almost as hard on the family members or the friends as it is on the person going through it.
It's hard on everybody that you are in love with, you know, the people you love, the people you care about. It's hard on all of them, because I guarantee you people can tell, no matter how hard you're hiding it, you know, they can tell.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to hide, actually.
Yeah, it's very hard. Some people are good at it, some people are not, but at some point it starts affecting the people around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's always, there are telltales. I mean, telltale signs just pop up, and you can't hardly even not notice them. They're going to be there. But
unfortunately they are.
Yeah.
Some of them are permanent too, you know. Some people have permanent things that they can't hide anymore. And, for them, you know, a lot of people will hold on to that, and it kind of eats away at them a bit, because they feel like even when they're recovered, you can still see them as an addict. which is something that I actually always talk about because, you know, there's a lot of people who want to help their loved ones get recovered and everything. But I say all the time, you know, what's the point of recovery when most of the people are not going to look at you like a normal person again, you know, which is something that I'm hoping to help change because, you know, looking at people like they're still that person, you know, it's very counterproductive for them. It really is. You know, you have to give people a chance to come back, you know, to be the person that they're meant to be.
It is especially tough for that person because their self-esteem is already pretty darn low. So you know, what you're essentially demanding is that they make a 25-step leap in one leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And it's hard for people, man. It's so hard. And, you know, it's different for every individual, but it's hard nonetheless, regardless of how bad it is. You know, everybody reacts to things differently, and some people hold on to things differently. So for them, I don't know if I could give anybody some advice. It's just, I don't know, look and think of the person that you want to become. And like, stop looking at yourself as the person that is still in the thick of that addiction. You know, even if you are, stop looking at yourself that way, because it's not that anything is wrong with you. There's something wrong with the choices that you're making, which is an easy switch. So that's my advice to anybody out there.
That's a good one. Yeah. Actually, it reminds me of something. Our friend Daniel here is an author and has created a lot of programs and so forth. And one of the main themes that appears in all of his work is the theme of the microshift, making little shifts one step at a time. Yeah, there he is. You can see. And I imagine that also plays a role in what you went through, trying to make little steps instead of taking those big steps, because the big steps are usually too big. But the little steps you can handle.
Yeah, people try to lead through the whole process, you know. And like I said earlier, it's not something that happens overnight. You know, it takes work. It takes effort. It takes a lot of internal fortitude, you know. Like, you have to be able to control your own willpower at some point. You know, ultimately, that's the biggest thing pulling you back is the willpower to keep yourself from it. So it takes a lot of mental exercise, that's for sure.
I would think also, I mean, I'm reflecting back to my own experience when I was in my early 20s. You know, I think a lot of it, there's some willpower, but more than that, there is a desire. You have to desire the shift. You have to desire the change. And no one can give you that desire. You're the one who can only be the only person who can give you that desire, right?
Yeah, and it all ties back into what I was just saying, that it's all an internal thing, you know, because you're right. Nobody can control your desires, so you have to want it bad enough to make it happen. And it can, you know, you can literally pull anything you want to yourself, you know. It took me a while to remember that, but it's working for me.
That's really, really good. Guys, I've been asking all the questions. I tend to dominate. You know how that is. But if you guys have anything you want to ask, jump right in. I'm happy to share the screen.
I have some questions. What was your drug of choice, and did you do any programs?
Oh, okay. So my drug of choice was opiates for a long time. You know, I was taking pills, doing heroin, doing fentanyl, and which is a whole nother monster in itself. And to answer your other question, though, I did not do any programs. I literally went through it. I don't want to say by myself, more internally by myself, but I was with my partner and everything at the time. But I sat there and went through it pretty much on my own, cold turkey, no programs. It was not easy. Not easy. So that just drives the whole mental part of it. You know, over the top, because you're kind of, you know, especially during the pandemic and everything, you're kind of just stuck at home in your own head.
Yeah.
And for weeks, you know, weeks, months for me, it took me a while to get clean. And, you know, you're stuck in like the prison that, you know, most people make for themselves, that you get stuck in that prison in your own head. And to break out of there, it takes a lot. But yeah, no programs for me. And, you know, programs are actually very helpful for people. I don't recommend not going to one at all, because doing it on your own, it can play games with your mind. It really can.
And Shelly says, good for you. That's a big choice to make.
Oh, thank you, Shelly. It's, it took a lot of little decisions, like you were saying, about the little changes, but I've gotten there. Thank God.
So if you got there, anybody can get there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen people that have gone through worse things than me that are doing great things with their life, and have made all kinds of changes. And, I've learned that a lot through the people that I've been speaking to that I'm setting up interviews with for my YouTube channel and everything. And some of them, I can't even believe that they've made it out to where they are, So yeah. Anybody can come back. I hate when I hear people say that they're pretty much, that person they were is dead or there's no hope for them, because it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really not.
That's another theme that shows up a lot in the interviews I've done. That the people who fall the farthest have the biggest springboard up.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. They don't have at some point you don't have much left to lose,
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree with that statement for sure.
It's like the situation says the comeback is better than the setback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a good one.
I always like to remember that the ball that hits the ground the hardest is the one that's going to bounce back the highest.
Mm.
Really good.
Having trouble hearing Daniel at the moment.
What about now?
There it is.
I'm here speaking to the people. I was saying the ball that hits the ground the hardest is the one that bounces up the highest.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a good one, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's very true. When it comes to, not even addiction, when it comes to all kinds of hardships in people's lives, usually the harder you fall, the better you can come back if you've got the willpower to do it, because some things that fall don't get back up, So
true.
It's all about what you, what side of that you want to be on.
There's a resilience factor, isn't there?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about. That in order to bounce, you have to have some elasticity so you can bounce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very good.
As you see Richie, this one's going.
I'm putting it all right in here. Right?
I hope these guys didn't trademark it. It's going to my channel now. I like that one. Thanks, buddy.
They say that good writers borrow from other writers and great writers just steal outright. So, feel free.
Good writers, great writers, it's mine.
Heard it.
Sorry.
I actually really like your podcast, guys. I've been watching it lately and, actually you're right about you guys. This day seems to be your most fun day, huh?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. This is the day where I do the most laughing on this show, this particular day. Yeah. That's how I know that we have achieved our goal. The goal is your daily dose of happy. That's always the goal. And we always hit it on Thursdays, every single Thursday. Yeah.
We are irreverent and gleeful and happy.
Which is what everybody needs.
Absolutely. Yes.
Seriously.
Unless you're in a country or jurisdiction where irreverence is dangerous to your health and well-being, in which case,
curry sufficient at that point.
Yeah,
go hide curry in the closet and do it there.
Curry sufficient reverence to survive, and then
that's right.
With mercy of other way today.
That's right. I never really thought of this podcast as being outlawed, but I suppose it could be when you really think about it.
I hope not.
There are definitely some jurisdictions where we'd be questionable in our legal status.
Questionable, that's right, yes.
Yeah, we don't hear from, what's her name anymore? Oh my gosh, what's her name?
Oh boy.
She was a hardcore listener. She was always here.
Is that the lady that came on and did poetry?
No.
Oh, I know. You're thinking of Nasha.
Yes. That's what
Nasha does tune in.
Oh, good.
She's been tuning in lately on, I think mainly on Wednesdays.
Uh-huh.
Because she's a real fan of Cindy. But yeah.
I guess we lost our accolades then.
Well, you know, she loves you too. It's just that Cindy is her favorite, so she goes with her fave.
That's all right. Burn.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I thought I was her favorite, but it's cool. It's cool. Whatever.
It's okay, Alex. It's okay.
No, my feelings aren't hurt at all.
No.
You do that very well, by the way.
I'm going to ask what he wants from me.
Well, I mean, it's great what you've been going through in terms of making the changes in your life, and we're really appreciating all of the insights you're sharing about how you got there. But where are you going next? I mean, you said you're doing the YouTube thing, and that's great. I mean, because that's, you know, the more outreach that you do, the better, and the more audience you bring your own way. I know that from experience.
Yeah.
But where else are you going? What's going to happen in the life of Richie Gonzalez going forward?
Okay, well, everything is actually in the works at the moment, so I'm hoping everything goes to the way it's planned. But so like I had mentioned earlier, I'm going to be traveling the country soon, and also making another YouTube channel. The people that I'm traveling with are also making YouTube channels. So our whole plan is to kind of make one on the road, about us traveling, building our channels on the road. You know, and with my YouTube channel, I'm hoping that some of the people that I've been networking with and setting up interviews with, I'm hoping that down the line, I can meet up with them in person on the road, you know, do certain projects, you know, collaborate on videos or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Me and my friends are putting a bus together, you know, turning a bus into a house at the moment. So like I said, it's all in the works. It's getting there.
Where are you guys going to go? I know you say you're going to cross Everywhere. The country, but what's the plan? Do you have, as you just hit the road and see where you go, or what's going to happen?
No, I mean, we do. We're putting our route together at the moment, actually. And we're hoping that with the channel, we can kind of take polls of where in certain states people want us to go, things they want us to see. And mm-hmm. Hopefully that works out well. You know, I'm still working out the kinks for everything at the moment, so...
What's a win? I'm curious, you know, when you're doing that, what's the win? What makes it a win?
For the whole process itself.
Well, for the trip anyway.
Yeah. For me, at least, I'm just hoping that my channel helps out a lot of people, man. Mm. That's my biggest concern, you know, is a lot of the people that I've spoken to and stuff. I'm so invested in their stories and, you know, the changes that they've made, and I just want to be a part of anything I can be. You know, so anything I can find that's going to help anybody, I'm right in there.
I recognize that feeling very strongly because that's similar to what I went through when I first started my podcast. I wanted to help a lot of people. That came out of my mouth over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. I do know the other thing that's really critical to continuing, because I've been doing it now almost 9 years, it's passion, having the passion and the love for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... As you continue to do it, as the passion builds, as you continue to love doing it, it'll just keep you going. It doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter if stuff flops. Makes no difference whatsoever. The love carries you through, and it's amazing how it does that.
Yeah. Especially, you know, like I was saying, I'm trying to help people who have gone through the things that I've gone through, and there's certain people in my life, a few people actually that are working on getting themselves clean and recovered at the moment. And, you know, and a lot of them, it's because of the things I've said, or, you know, they see the things that I'm starting to do, and it's giving them inspiration. And, you know, in that way, I feel like I'm already starting to make a difference, you know, and it's not even something that I was trying to do. It's just happening. And, you know, I don't hold back when I talk to people. So they kind of just get it the way it is, whether they like it or not. And it's been working so far. So,
yeah, we're all again, like that.
Yeah. Oh, I know you are, Alex. I know that for sure.
Zero F's given over here.
Yeah.
And what about the rest of the F's? That's a bit racist.
Daniel.
Another Danism.
You always got the perfect thing to come in and say, huh?
Yep.
Only on a Thursday. Oh, it is Thursday.
Oh, I'm not sure who loves it more, him or us.
Doesn't matter.
But definitely, what you're talking about, it resonates. In fact, I keep thinking about my friend Joel, and I talk about him a lot on the show anyway, because he did the show with me for like 4 or 5 years, so obviously he played a major role. Yeah. One of the things that you touched on reminded me very much of him, because you said that you were helping people you didn't really expect you'd be able to help. Mm-hmm. And he had a similar experience. After he went through his, you know, dark night and so forth and came out of it, he ended up becoming very much interested in law of attraction. He became a therapist and then later a life coach. And he ended up, not through any direct plan, he ended up getting requests for help from people who were working with kids stuck in the foster care system, particularly boys stuck in the foster care system. In some cases, there was addiction involved, but mainly it was just kids who the social workers and so forth had given up on. They were like the worst cases, the most difficult cases. Mm-hmm. And they'd come to him because he did this wacky law of attraction thing, and he was able to help them. And it became something that he was known for. I think the current count is he has found forever homes for 43 of these boys, which is...
Aww.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that almost understates the importance of it, because he's talked a lot about what happens with kids who are in the foster care system. And these are the ones who they're in it long enough, they've become the real behavior issue types and so forth. And when they get up into their teens, they're unadoptable. Nobody wants them.
Start to age out. Mm-hmm.
And if they actually keep going through the program until they turn 18, the odds are close to 100% that they will end up in prison. So getting these kids forever homes, it isn't just a cool thing. It's a lifesaver. Yeah. It's truly a lifesaver. And he never intended to do that. And that's what I was thinking about when you were saying how there are people that you didn't really expect you to be able to help, and yet you were helping them.
One second.
We have a little distraction going on.
Yeah. No. I'm not at my house right now, so... I'm like in a whole nother town at the moment.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, but
no, I like I said, I'm honored. I've been dying to be on the podcast. You know, me and Alex have been talking about it for a while, so I've just been waiting for the date to come.
Well, it's here. You made it. That's good.
Yeah, I know.
Finally made it.
Finally here.
Yeah. But what's your impression in terms of the people who you've been helping who you didn't really think you'd ever get to help?
I mean, at first I was in shock, you know. There was one of my friends that's actually pretty deep into it, who is actually, she's trying very, very hard right now, and I'm proud of her, you know. But as far as the impression, I think that when it comes to people who are addicted and they all want to stop, nobody wants to be that way. And I see that a lot, you know, as much as they might talk up what they're doing and act like they're okay with it, nobody wants to be that way anymore, you know? Right. So it that's why a big thing with me is that I don't want to give up on anybody who won't give up on themselves, you know, because they're just fighting through it. And, it, you know, it's just a chapter of your life. It doesn't have to be the rest of it, you know? It's not the end of your story. So, yeah. So I don't know. I'm just trying to not give up on them is all.
Anybody That's an important point. That's a really important point. It's very easy when you're in the midst of that dark night of the soul, as they often call it, to just give up on any possibility for life being any different. Like this is the mindset is this is the way it's going to be forever. I'm just locked into that.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing to break out of, man, especially with addiction. You think that you're going to be stuck in that in it forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I did. I didn't think I'd ever be the person that I'm becoming, but here I am.
But you did it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wish that I can give that same, the same thing to everybody. You know, I wish I could change everybody's mindset. But unfortunately, it's just something that you have to change on your own, you know, like we've been talking about this whole time. And it's something that a lot of loved ones and family members don't realize is that you have to let them do it on their own. Because not everybody's ready at the same moment, and they don't have to be, you know? It's just when they are ready, just be there for them.
There's a key concept, though, that I think perhaps gives hope to somebody like you who is wanting to help other people but recognizing that it's not really your decision. They're the ones who have to make the decision. And that is, it comes right out of quantum mechanics, quantum theory, the idea of entanglement. I think I was watching a program with my wife the other day, or I can't remember if I was watching something or reading something.
Entanglement.
Yeah, about entanglement. And so there was a professor who was saying that the moment that you meet somebody and shake hands with them, you are permanently connected to that person energy-wise in an entangled way forever. And so it occurs to me, just by meeting people, just by doing your program on YouTube and having people tune in and so forth, they are connecting to you in ways that you don't even see. I know that's what I've experienced with this podcast. I mean, we currently have like 600 people per episode tuning in, most of whom I have no idea what they're like. Well, I can tell you it wasn't like that from the beginning. In the beginning, it was where you are. You know, I just did it for a long time and just did it enthusiastically. But the fact is, those connections exist, even if we're not seeing them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you may not be able to change their minds, but you definitely are influencing them just by doing what you're doing.
I'm trying. I'm just like I've been saying and been telling everybody, I'm just trying to be a better person, you know, and trying to get other people to see that they're better than their addiction,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of people define themselves by it, and it's not who you are. It's just something you're going through, you know, and you can't let it define you.
That's a great point. There's a difference between who you are and what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to addiction, it's hard for people to see it. But it's like, you know, when you're using, you're literally giving up everything in your life for one thing, when you could be giving up that one thing for everything, you know. And a lot of people just don't see it that way. I didn't for years. You know, like I said, I was using for almost 15 years, hiding it from pretty much everybody in my life, my family, and you know, my partners. So it took me a while to realize that I was giving up everything for a drug.
Congratulations on recognizing that. That's a long time. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty unusual for somebody to last that long, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was pretty high functioning, but
I guess
regardless, I was still an addict, you know. It didn't matter how much I was doing, how often I was doing it, I was still always going back to it. It always had that hold on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I would run to it to fix my problems, and you know, I would tell myself, "Oh, I'm doing it to have fun and all that." But the fun stops very shortly after you start using. The fun is gone. You're doing it because you feel like you need to.
Did you reach a point where during your recovery, I mean, did you reach a point where all of a sudden you felt like it wasn't going to run your life anymore?
Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing that stopped me, and I had to force myself to believe that. But I mean, once you do, you can make it happen, you know, just like everything else we've talked about. You can literally make whatever the fuck you want.
There goes the
whatever
PG
you
rating.
Like. Yeah.
I caught myself there.
I'm trying to distract with the
Nicely done, Daniel.
Yeah, when I get into it, when I start talking to people about it, I get really passionate about it, man. Like I said, I tell them exactly how it is. A lot of people don't want to hear it, but I mean, they're going to.
The truth smarts, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't always like that. Was not always like that.
Well, that leads to another interesting question. This is one that has come up in a variety of contexts. But if you could talk to that self of yours from 15 years ago when you were, or I'm not sure how long ago you actually got out of it, but at the early part of that 15-year period, if you could actually talk to yourself at that time, what would you say to yourself?
Run.
Run. Run.
I've actually never really thought of that.
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you, Alex, for always having back.
I don't know what I'd say. I'd probably tell them that, you know, like I just said, to just stop because the fun is going to end real soon. You know, it's not going to be fun forever. Mm. And unfortunately, I've watched a lot of people that I care about die from this. You know, it's especially nowadays. It's taken over so many people's lives. I just had 4 people die in the last 2 weeks. It's insane.
Ooh. Wow.
Insane.
Wow.
Ouch.
Especially out, you know, in this area. It's the drugs are killing everybody. It's sad. It's very sad. I could have been one of them, you know?
Mm.
So I'm just happy I got away from it. I want to help the people that I love get away from it, you know?
Mm.
Keep my family members, my niece and nephew away from things like that. I don't know. I just wish I could change everybody's life at the moment. Obviously, it's not possible, but.
Well, and we do it one person at a time.
One person at a time. That's what
we're helping people
to do
right now.
Yeah. And you set the live example. You showed that you can climb out. Well, you succeed. You've already succeeded in climbing up. That makes you the example. Mm-hmm. So
thank you. Now
it's proof. Well, it's serious though, too. I mean, when you're talking with somebody, you can say to them, fully honest, I did it. Mm-hmm. If I did it, that means you can do it too. There's nothing special about me that you don't have.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just like everybody else, you know? And it's like, I don't know, man. It's hard for people to see that about themselves, though. It's so hard. I'm sure everybody has that where you're so hard on yourself, even when you're not using, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine that messing with your mind and playing games with you over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm also interested. I'm interested that you didn't, you'd never really thought about what would happen if you were able to talk to yourself who was in the early stage of that. Let me carry that theme a little bit further, because this may actually help you some in terms of the work that you're doing. Have you ever tried thinking and holding in your mind one of the people or more than one of the people who you're trying to help who are at risk right now? I mean, I'm thinking of the four who died, for instance. But it could be somebody who's currently in a similar state, kind of near the end, that sort of thing. Have you ever tried holding that person in your mind and just imagining them free of all the chemicals and feeling good and feeling happy in their lives?
Yeah. And actually, saying that I definitely have. That just goes back to my best friend who, you know, obviously it's all her business, not going to talk about her, but
sure.
I just, you know, she's definitely one of those people that I picture all the time just, you know, being herself again. And I'm hoping that one day she can get there, for sure.
Because that helps.
She's lost me, so.
I mean, just that visualization helps. That's what the quantum entanglement professor was talking about. That you can have that kind of impact on somebody else just by holding them in the best possible light in your own mind.
Almost using the law of attraction to do it for them. You know,
take out the word almost and you got it. exactly what you're doing. Yeah.
That's actually, I never really thought about that. But I mean, if you can pull it to yourself, why can't you project it outwards too? You know, it's all about balance.
In fact, I was mentioning Cindy Chavez. That's one of her favorite things to do is to talk about how when she's working with a client, because she's a life coach, when she's working with a client, she always goes into every session with a mindset that imagines that client being in their best possible place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she starts every session.
I was going to say, that's a great way to start a session for sure.
It is, yeah. You
know, because actually that kind of goes back to what I was saying when it comes to being in recovery. You know, when I had said, what's the point of recovery if you're never going to look at those people normal again? You know?
Right.
And that kind of ties into it because, you know, you have to start looking at at people that are going through this as a better version of themselves instead of looking at them for the problem that they're going through,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because like we've been saying, addiction isn't who you are, it's just what you're going through.
That's exactly right.
Sorry, I got a friend coming over here.
Yeah. Oh, that's a cute friend.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a couple of
I don't know, man. I just wish that, I wish I could change everybody's life right now. I'm working on it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to suggest to you. You already are. You just need to trust that. It's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And it's slowly moving, but it's getting there for sure.
And it's like my wife was a former therapist. She was a psychotherapist for about 10 years. And one of the things that she had to learn early on was she had kind of the same feeling you did. Like, I wish I could just help everybody. I wish I could somehow just make them change their minds or something like that. And at one point in her career, it got so stressful for her because she was having experiences with clients who would, you know, backtrack and all kinds of stuff. They just fall back and lose ground. And it was literally stressing her out until her supervisor came to her one day, asked her about it. She told her supervisor what was going on and she said, what can I do to get these people healthy? And her supervisor says, it's not your job to get them healthy. And she says, well, what do you mean? She says, your job is to give them the information. It's up to them whether they get healthy.
I mean, in a way, she's not wrong. But, I mean, the statement itself, I guess, is probably not word for word, but yeah, you know, it's not their job to get you healthy, but it's their job to help you find the right ways to, you know what I mean? And kind of help you mentally get there.
Well, it's also a way to separate in the therapist's mind what the therapist's responsibility is, because we can get ourselves into a place where we really aren't helping all that much because we're so empathetic to what the other person's going through.
Yes, I guess that is actually the other side of the coin, not getting too deep into it.
There was something that one of my mentors gave me. I'm coming closer. Gave me when I was
getting closer to this.
Yeah, he's a, I'm getting closer too. Get closer to. But then he told me when I was transitioning into doing more of the higher ticket work that I do, and I was like, yeah, but am I going to be able to produce the value for these, you know, higher value ticket offers and coaching people at this level? Because it was like, you're charging too little, you've got to charge more for what you do. And we realized that the thing was being responsible to people and being responsible for them. Mm. That fine line. Mm-hmm. Just like Louise, like it's like she's responsible to them to give them the information, to support them as best she has, to show up every time, yes, to give her all, but not responsible for what they do with it. And I think as people that want to help others, we can sometimes get caught up in this, I've got to save everybody. No, you can't. All you can do is provide them the tools, the means, and the inspiration. And that's it.
Yeah.
And if they choose to take that on, and if they choose not to.
And some people struggle with that decision, and they really do, you know. Mm. Even trying to make the decision alone breaks them, you know. Because some people are so afraid of getting clean because they're afraid of the process. They're afraid of, you know, how much change comes with it, but. I mean, the change can only get better. Think anybody who's used or is an addict, you know, drugs have never brought a single good thing to me. You know what I mean? Mm. So how much worse can life get? You know, you make that change and you just go with it and see what life throws at you, or what you, the reality you shape around yourself, you know? I don't know.
And correct me if I'm wrong. It, when you make the decision, when you really make the decision, so you say, okay, I'm leaving the drugs behind. I'm leaving the addiction behind. I'm going to move forward. It happens fairly quickly.
Yeah, actually it does. The process, obviously, of getting clean, it's different with every substance, you know, but when you make that decision, it's kind of like, okay, I'm done, you know, and you know, some people will relapse and keep going back. But I always tell them like, well, you know, the last time will be the last time. You know, when you get to that point, when you're done, that's it. Like, so, you know, it's just all about getting to that point. Some people, it takes their whole lives. Some people do it younger, you know, but, if you're smart enough, you'll do it as young as you can. Cause I wish I was doing this 10 years ago, you know, I really do. I was a lot less gray back then. So
I think we all were.
I sympathize. Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I guess I'll keep that part to myself. But yeah, I mean, I really do wish I was doing the things that I'm doing so long ago, because I feel like I could have done so much more. But it's another thing about not being hard on yourself. You got to realize that you got to go through certain things to become that person, you know, I would have never gotten to this point if I was doing this years ago. So.
Right.
And now I'm sitting here with you guys on the podcast, you know?
Hey, I started this podcast.
I can be on the podcast again with you guys. This is great.
You certainly can. I mean, I started this podcast when I was 55.
Really?
I mean, I thought my life was...
How long now, you said?
Almost 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
So you're the Benjamin Button of our crew, then?
The Benjamin Button of the crew, yeah. God, so I guess I can only imagine what that makes me...
Figure that out. One can go in one direction, one can go in the other direction.
Yeah.
which direction you want to go? I mean, it's up to you.
I definitely don't want to start getting older. That's happening. I think I'd rather take the other direction.
The other direction?
Yeah.
And do you want the red pill or the blue pill? Which one is it? That's great.
I'm very happy that Alex asked me to be on this podcast. I think what guys do on here is awesome. You know, I can't wait to start sharing it with people. I know a lot of people that are into the law of attraction, so I think they're going to be very interested in it.
Good, good.
Yeah,
well, we're really glad that you had
new followers.
You got to tell people, you haven't told people yet how they can find your YouTube channel. How do they find you?
Okay. I'm still working that out at the moment. But actually, I think at the moment, the best way to find my YouTube channel is I'm trying to start this thing, hashtag Come Clean Challenge. You can type that into YouTube. It'll take you right to mine. Like I said, hashtag Come Clean Challenge, which is I'm trying to put it out there for the people who want to come onto my channel, you know, and do interviews to just let everything that, you know, let it all out, kind of, you know, just be honest about themselves. And then to kind of just talk people through how they got better and then, you know, the project they're working on and then, you know, all of that. So, or even other YouTubers too. I would love for it to get spread to other YouTubers and get them on my channel and kind of have them break that character that they make, you know, and kind of just talk about real struggles that they've been through and how the hell they've made it to where they are, you know.
Is that the name of your channel, or does your channel have a name?
My channel is actually just named Gonzo, G-O-N-Z-O.
Okay.
And, yeah, that was my nickname in the military, so I'm sticking with it.
All right.
And
that's my nickname, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep, I'm sticking to it, man. It's
well, I would like to volunteer as tribute to be on your YouTube channel.
Who is that? You want to volunteer as tribute?
I want to volunteer.
I'm okay with that. You know that. Me and you can definitely work that out. And Kenny, too. So,
yeah, facts.
I'm coming for all of you now. All of you are coming on my channel.
Maybe people that you want to share this episode with, you can share the app so that they can get it directly through the app.
Ooh, there's a segue if I ever heard one.
I know.
It's not a segue if you name it a segue.
Yeah. You ruined it.
But I love ruining his segues. That's what makes it so much fun.
Facts.
But he's absolutely right. And probably the easiest way to reach anybody here on the program is through the LOA Today app. So if you haven't taken advantage and downloaded it, please do so and use the opportunity also to send in a question or send in a comment. If you're sending in a comment about this show with Richie, well, I'll send it along to Richie so that he gets to see it as well. But, we love it. No, that's all right. No, these are free form promos. There's no formal rule to them.
Yeah, that's kind of how my interviews for my channel are too. I like I said, I'm still learning and getting intertwined with the whole internet part of everything. So, you know, when it comes to the links and all of that, I will figure it out. I promise.
I'm sure you will. Hey, I'll tell you. You were praising me for how well I've been doing with the show. I'll tell you how the first show went. Oh. It was my wife and I did it on our 13th wedding anniversary, September 26, 2012. And after the first 20 minutes, we realized that the recorder wasn't on.
Isn't that great?
You had one job, Walt.
So when you actually play the episode, it starts off with, "Now we're live here on LOA."
It's so funny you say that because the first interview, my interviews aren't even up on my channel yet, but the first one that I've recorded went through the whole thing. It went amazing. You know, the guy was interviewing did such a good job, was not recording the audio at all.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was awful.
Welcome to the world.
So well, I'm so happy. And then I went into edit and to, yeah.
I had a funny thing. One of my mentors has won 11 Emmy Awards, and he's like badass. And he agreed to be on my podcast. I plugged in the wrong mic, so I had this mic, and it was scratching across my beard the entire interview.
Oh,
I didn't know until afterwards. So, like, Duncan was...
That thing's pretty long.
Thank you. So when Duncan was prepping the interview, he was like, apologies for Daniel's sound being a little off. Like, can't exactly get a man that's, like, that busy. So, do you fancy re-recording the interview? Because I messed up and used the wrong microphone.
Yeah. It's so embarrassing, isn't it?
Really, dude?
I have to do it.
Your big try, but this is what you do.
It's all about working out the kinks, that's all.
But you come out the other side, and if you keep going, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, well,
that's
all
that matters.
It gives me some motivation for sure, because
like we are
for a long time. So.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Good.
We're on YouTube, aren't we, Alex?
Yeah, we are.
I think we are, yeah.
Yes. So. If you
but people need to know how.
Oh, how? Okay. If you go to YouTube, search LOA Today podcast videos, and once you see our smiling faces, click down below to the red subscribe button. Next to the red subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. Make sure you click all so you will always be notified when we are live.
Yes.
See, that's why I like these two. I mean, they're just fabulous. So,
we work
Richie,
well together.
Thank you so much for being on the show, though. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for making your YouTube channel, too. Thank you for doing your outreach. I think it's very important what you're doing.
And thank you for owning your truth without shame, without guilt, without gunk, but being
absolutely
a superhero.
Yeah, thank you.
You're an inspiration, Richie.
Seriously, I really do hope that I can connect with you guys some more and do this some more because you guys are all awesome. Seriously.
Excellent. All right.
Especially love you, Alex. You know that.
Aw, thank you.
All right. That's a good way to end it. Thank you very much, Richie. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, live streamers. Thank you, podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. Take care.